All right. Well, hello. Hello. Online family, in-person family, it is so good to be together today. And you know, like just like you just saw in the video, we've got another baptism coming up next week. And those of you who just got baptized last month, I want to say congratulations to you again. That is such an important step in your journey with Jesus. And those of you who it's your turn, it's your time to get baptized, get online this week, take the water baptism class so we can celebrate you next weekend. If you happen to be a guest with us today, whether you're joining us in person or online, we are so glad that you decided to make the Vineyard part of your weekend. And my name is Keith. I'm one of the pastors here. We truly hope that you experience God's presence by our gathering together today. All right, moms, where are you at, moms? In the room, show us online. Give us a little hi in the chat. Moms, we love you. This is your weekend. We literally wouldn't be here without you. I hope not only that you have an awesome Mother's Day, I hope your family loves on you big time all weekend. So speaking of moms, last weekend, our church family got to bless over 250 single moms in our community. Check out this video. Vineyard Church, this is what we do. This is what we're all about, partnering with God to transform lives in our community and even all around the world. We do that by giving our time. We do that by giving our energy. We do that by giving our money. So thank you to all of you who give regularly to God through Vineyard Church North Phoenix. We simply would not be the church that we are without you. Will you join me as we pause to pray for our giving and that God would speak to us today through the teaching? Father God, we love you, and God, I thank you for having the privilege of being a part of a church that is making a difference in people's lives. And I ask, God, that when we give, any time that we do it, that you would bless what we give, that you would use it to transform lives here in our community and even all around the world. And God, I pray that you would speak to each of us today. Father, I pray you would give me the gift of teaching, that all of us, myself included, would hear from you what you brought us here to get today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, last week, Pastor James kicked off a brand new series that we call Doing What Jesus Did. And he talked about our value of everyone gets to play. This is one of our highest values. We believe that every follower of Jesus, any person who has said yes to Jesus, anybody who has said, Jesus, I want you to lead my life, every follower of Jesus is empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the things that Jesus did. Not just a select few, not just the paid pastors, not just special ministry leaders. No. If you have said yes to Jesus, if you have given your life to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And if you missed last week's teaching, I encourage you to get caught up on it. Listen to it, watch it. You can go to our website. You can pick up a CD or DVD in the bookstore. But one of the easiest ways to do it is with our Vineyard Church app. Just go to your app store, search for Vineyard Church North Phoenix. You can get caught up on previous teachings. You can take our online classes, like our water baptism class, if you're planning on getting baptized soon, and so much more. So do that, get caught up on the series. Today, I want to spend our time focusing on one of the things that James said toward the end of his message last week. He said, at the Vineyard, we will always pray for the sick and hurting. We will always pray for the sick and hurting. Now, if you've been around the Vineyard, even for just a little while, you probably already know this. I mean, every week, we offer prayer at the end of our services. You know, for people here in person, you can come down to the front and talk to a member of our trained team. Online, you can click on that prayer button and get connected with a member of our host team, and then that person will pray for you. We call that ministry time. And the reason we call it ministry time is that's the time that we reserve every week to minister to each other, to serve each other. That's what ministry means. It means to serve each other. We think this is so important that we have a team that is dedicated specifically to this. We call them the ministry team. So ministry team, do me a favor. If you're in the room, give us a little wave. Online, say hi in the chat, because we want to say thank you to you guys because you're awesome. Thank you for loving on our church family. Thank you for ministering to us. You really make a difference for all of us. The ministry team goes through a very specific training and approval process. We call it ministry training. In fact, a new session of ministry training is actually beginning right now. Now, don't leave. I want you to take ministry training. I don't want you to go right now. But you can actually go online and take the first session, and then next week, jump into the class in person and go through our ministry training class, okay? We believe anyone can pray for anyone else anytime. We believe that the power of the kingdom of God can break in at any moment, anywhere, if you're a follower of Jesus. That's part of the ebb and the flow of God's kingdom. Everywhere that you go, the things of the kingdom and the potential of the things of the kingdom, they could come anywhere that you are. Now, our mission at Vineyard Church North Phoenix is to transform ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ. We believe that God is on the move. We believe that God is on the move, restoring and reclaiming all things back to himself, including you and me. And as he puts us back together, as we enter into a relationship with him, he calls us to join in this process of restoration. I mean, the world's a pretty messed up place, right? I mean, there are all kinds of things that are just broken, wrong, and backwards. Bad things happen. People get sick. People get hurt. People die. And it can become so easy to just simply lose hope. I mean, if God is good, and if God is all-powerful, well, then why do bad things happen? That's a really good question. And it leads to another really good question. If God is good, and if God is all-powerful, why doesn't he do something about all the bad things that are happening? Does God have a plan for this world? The answer is yes. God is doing something about it, and God does have a plan for this world. You're the plan. I'm the plan. If you follow Jesus, if you are a Christian, you are God's plan for this world. When Jesus sent out his disciples, his first followers, in Matthew 10:8, he gives them a set of instructions. And this is just part of his instructions. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and everything in between. He says in the book of John, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Notice that he says, anyone who believes in me. We believe that everyone gets to do this. If you believe in Jesus, you get to do this. Everyone gets to play. Now, I am not going to dig into the theology of prayer and healing today. That's a really big, complex issue with big and complex questions. Take the ministry training class if you want to dive more into that. Not the least of which among those questions is why doesn't everyone get healed every time? Because they don't. But needless to say, I'm going to go on record as saying that God does heal. And God does still heal people today. Jesus is still in the healing business. And today I'm going to assume that you also believe that, even at least just a little bit. If you just a little bit, okay? I'm going to assume that you believe that Jesus heals. And I'm going to tell you that if you follow Jesus, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you've asked him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, to be the master of your life, then one of the things that Jesus has called you to do is to participate in the ministry of healing. Okay? So two assumptions. One, we believe Jesus heals today. Two, we are called to participate in the ministry of healing. So working with these two assumptions, then why don't we pray for healing all of the time? Well, I think it's because a lot of the time, we just don't feel that we're equipped to do it. Or we feel inadequate to participate in healing ministry. So today, I want to equip you. I want to help you feel a little bit more prepared to maybe encourage you and challenge you to take a little bit of a risk from time to time. I want to give you some simple tools that you can use to start ministering to people around you anytime, anywhere, even today. We use a model here at the Vineyard that we call the 5-step ministry model. It was developed by John Wimber. He was the first leader of the Vineyard movement through his studying of Jesus' method of praying for people and through his experiences seeking the Holy Spirit. And it came out of John's really simple, down-to-earth, no hype, and most importantly, super normal style. And I want to let you know up front that John prayed for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people with nobody ever getting healed before he finally got to see somebody get healed. So take some encouragement in that, okay? In fact, I would highly recommend John Wimber's book, Power Healing, for a deeper look into what we're talking about today. So the 5-step ministry model is the model that we train our ministry team and our small group leaders to use when praying for the sick, because honestly, we've just found it to be a really simple and effective way to minister to others in a practical and non-threatening way. It's useful at church, it's useful at small group, and it's useful just out and about living our everyday, ordinary lives. But before we get into the 5-step model, I want to spend the first part of our time looking at a few guiding values and principles, okay? So first, all believers can pray for the sick. Healing ministry is accessible to all believers. Here at the Vineyard, we are committed to doing ministry in a way that does not draw undue attention to any one specific person or place. Ministry can happen anywhere. Ministry can and should be performed by anyone. Now, there are, of course, times when we have some special exceptions and limitations to this, like our ministry time after the service with our ministry team. But this normally should draw ordinary believers like you and like me into practicing ministry in a way that is accessible, real, and responsible. That's why we say everyone gets to play. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you can pray for the sick. And you can do it in a way that is simple and effective, and maybe most importantly, not weird. Second, we believe in ministering in teams. When praying for the sick, and when possible, pray by twos and threes. In fact, one of the best ways to learn to pray for the sick is to tag along with somebody else who's done it for a while. You know, when somebody first joins the ministry team, in fact, they spend some time shadowing a current team member before they're released to pray for someone on their own. More than once, I've tagged along with someone else who went to go minister to someone, and many times when I've been called on to go pray for someone's sick loved one, I've taken someone along with me. Next, we believe that it is essential to honor and love the person we are praying for. People must never be treated or used as objects for our ministry. People must not be treated as clients that we're doing ministry to. When we minister, we must always hold close to our hearts that we are ministering to a person, a human being, a co-image bearer of God. Everyone we minister to is a unique person with a name, with a face, with a story, with pain. Everyone must be treated with respect and dignity no matter the ministry situation. We must always minister with compassion and mercy. Likewise, when we minister to the person, we minister to the person, not to the pain, not to the condition, not to the sickness, but to the person. The focus is always on the human being. We also minister wholeness more than resolving the presented problem. Here's what I mean. By ministering to people, by loving people through ministry, we hope to bring a little wholeness to the whole person, as opposed to merely focusing on their felt need. What is the whole person? Well, in Matthew 22 and Luke 10, we see that the whole person is made up of heart, soul, strength, and mind. Their felt need is important. Their felt need matters. That's what brought them to seeking ministry in the first place, or that's what prompted me to ask them if I could pray for them in the first place. But the presenting problem can often be a symptom of a deeper issue. So when we're able to, we take time. We take time in ministering healing to related causes with a view to restoring wholeness to that person. When we're hurting, the place we usually noticed it first is with our physical body, or in our strength, or our emotions, our heart. Most of the time, when the presenting problem is a sickness or a broken bone or a broken heart or relationship troubles. So when time allows, we want to minister to the whole person. And when time doesn't allow, we can focus on the presenting problem and trust God to handle the rest. Next, we are dependent on the Holy Spirit at all times. We do not do this on our own. We cannot do this on our own. I mean, who am I? Who are you? I'm not God. You're not God. And thank God for that. The Holy Spirit in us, though, God is the one who is in control. God is the healer. One of the simplest ways to think about our roles as ministers is to think about a midwife. You know, the role of a midwife is to be there to support the mother while she is in the process of giving birth. A midwife may work hard, but she is not doing the hard work, right? A midwife supports the mother. A midwife waits on the mother. A midwife doesn't set the timeline for the birth. She just supports the birth as it happens. A good midwife assists in the process without ever getting in the way. And when the time comes, if necessary, she catches, right? That's our job when we minister to people. God is the one who is doing the work. We are simply there to be a part of what God is doing. God sets the timeline. He sets the course. We bless what God is already doing. And when the time comes, if necessary, we catch. Okay? We work with God and with the person, secure in the knowledge that only God can heal. No pressure on me. No pressure on you. God is the healer, not us. We are essentially midwives of the Holy Spirit. We still have to take the risk, but God is the one who heals. Also, we use disclaimer language and not absolute language. We avoid absolute language. So that would be like speaking as if God is speaking directly through me to the person. Something like, you know, God says this is your problem. Well, that kind of language is intimidating, and it leaves no room for discernment or correction. And to be totally honest, it's spiritually abusive. When someone comes to me in a moment of vulnerability, I need to be extremely sensitive to that. I need to be very careful what I say as I minister to this person. And I have known too many situations where someone was given a very specific word from the Lord that only resulted in years of pain and eventual disappointment. So instead, we use disclaimer language. I sense the Lord might be saying. And then we ask questions like, does that make sense to you? Do you feel any truth to that? Because the truth is, depending on the circumstances and depending on the moment, it could be the Holy Spirit or it could be the pizza. We never want to manipulate the situation either intentionally or unintentionally. I will very often say to someone something like, you know, I'm getting a sense of something. This could be the Lord or it could just be me. And then I'll invite them to either engage in the process with me and give me some feedback, or I'll ask them to spend some time just sitting and talking to God about it on their own. But I always give them the out of, if this isn't right, if this doesn't feel like it's for you, then just let it fall away. And we always want to keep everything real and simple, not religious, you know, especially in the way that we talk. Nothing hyped up, nothing complicated, just reality, simplicity, both in our words and in our style of ministry. So with all those things in mind, let's look at how we go about praying for someone who is sick. The five-step ministry model. Step number one, we call the interview. This is where we introduce ourselves. Hi, my name is Keith. And we ask, how can I pray for you? That's a great Vineyard question, by the way. We should all get really comfortable asking that question anytime. How can I pray for you? Let's practice, right? If you're in the room, say it out loud. Online, type it in the chat. How can I pray for you? Good job, you guys are ready. Okay, I mean, we're getting there, but you know, that's the first step. What is this person asking from God? What is their specific need? Where do they hurt? And this is not a medical interview because I'm not a doctor or a nurse, and neither are you, unless you are. In that case, at that moment, you are not, okay? We just want to get the facts. We do a brief interview to see what's going on. What do they want to get prayed for? You know, this is not a time to chat. This is not a time for a long list of complaints. This is not a counseling session. This is not time to give advice or to tell your story. Your focus right now is on the person you are ministering to. We want to ask key questions to identify the issue and what might be behind it. We see Jesus do this. He asked a man named Bartimaeus who was blind, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want God to do for you? What's the problem? How long have you had this? When did this start? When did this happen? Have you seen a doctor? Did anything else happen at the same time this started? Do you have any family history?" Or this question that Jesus asks a man in John 5:6, when he saw him and knew he'd been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" I mean, this may seem like a strange question, but honestly, sometimes we become so used to our illnesses, so used to our sicknesses, so used to our problems, so used to our conditions that they become a part of our identity. And the thought of losing part of our identity can be incredibly frightening. And as they answer these questions, gently help them to keep their answers short, 2 or 3 sentences. Getting into extended dialogue can undermine the ministry moment. It's not that their story doesn't matter, far from it. Their story matters. However, this isn't the right time for their whole story. Jesus asks these simple types of questions, very basic, very practical, to simply gain information. And now when we ask these questions, we're really looking for answers on 2 different levels. We're listening on the natural level. What do my senses literally tell me and show me? What can I see? What can I hear? And we are trying to listen also on the supernatural level. Inside, I'm asking God to speak to me. I'm asking him to give me discernment, to give me a word or a vision. I'm asking God, what is it that you are doing in this moment? I'm asking him for revelation. So we listen on two levels, to the person and to the spirit. And the interview is over when you think you know what to pray for, or when God gives you the impression that it's over. This should only take a couple of minutes, okay? So the interview, step one. Step two, we call the diagnosis or the diagnostic decision. This is where you're going to choose your prayer strategy. You know, if you've gotten to the root problem, that tells you how you're going to pray. Something with natural causes, you know, a disease, an accident, that's what you're going to pray for. Maybe they've confessed a sin to you, something that was committed by them, or something that was committed against them. Well, that's what you're going to pray for. Maybe emotional hurts that are causing other pain, maybe even physical pain, relationship problems, lack of forgiveness, maybe something supernatural. It could be something demonic. Keep asking God for his help. It may be useful to pray quietly in tongues. Continue to ask questions if and as appropriate. And while you're doing this, you're continuing to ask God for help. You're continuing to listen both naturally and supernaturally. And there are going to be times, maybe more often than not, when you just aren't exactly sure how to pray. That's okay. Listen, if that happens, if you're not sure that you've heard from God, or if you're not sure about a clear direction for prayer, just be simple and honest. You know, you could just say, I'm not sure how to pray, but you know what? We're just going to go for it, okay? Let's just go for it. Don't ever make anything up. Don't ever pretend that you know more than you do. We always need to maintain our integrity when ministering to others. Root problems can be very complex. Don't panic. Remember that God loves them far more than you ever possibly could. God wants them to be healed more than you do. And if God wants to speak, he will speak. Just take your time. And remember, sometimes people are just sick. Not everything has a spiritual cause. Never assume that anything anyone is experiencing is a result of sin. Sometimes it is, but just let God reveal that as needed. The book of James reminds us that mercy triumphs over judgment. Your concern at this moment is to show love and care and concern for the person that you're ministering to. Remember to honor and to protect their vulnerability. Things are not always as they appear to be, so it's a good idea to both start and end with mercy when dealing with people. Remember, this is someone who is deeply loved by God. And when we are ministering to them, we are honoring God's great commandment to love and care for others. It's important how we deal with people. They are not goals to be accomplished. They are the image of the living God. So the interview, the diagnosis, step number three is the prayer selection. What kind of prayer will I pray to help this person? What does God want to do at this particular time? Now, listen, we know that God's ultimate will is to heal, but that's not always right now. That's not on our timeline. We don't set the timeline, right? The best way to pray for healing is to be in agreement with God's will at that moment. Again, we look to Jesus' example in John 5:19. Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Ask the Lord to show you how to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray quietly in tongues. This builds our faith as we take risks, and it helps to make us more spiritually sensitive. You know, it's often in these moments when we might receive a word from God. It might be a word of command. I curse this infection in the name of Jesus. It might be a word of pronouncement. You are healed. You better be sure if you hear that. True healing will be medically verifiable. It might be a word of rebuke. If it turns out to be something demonic, it might be breaking that demonic power. Stop it in the name of Jesus. Be quiet in the name of Jesus. It might be a word of agreement, going back to what do you want Jesus to do? The bottom line is pray what God gives you to pray. Nothing less, nothing more. Pray whatever God gives you to pray. Now, here's a few simple basics for praying for somebody. Position yourself in front of them so that you can see them. Ask them if it's okay for you to lay hands on them. We do this because we see Jesus and the disciples do this in the Bible. We don't really understand why. We just do it because they did it. There seems to be something to it. If they say no, that's okay. If they say yes, put your hand on their shoulder. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to the person. And then do your best to dial down. Do your best to kind of empty yourself of yourself so that you can really let God do the work. You know, we've got to be able to empty ourselves of ourselves and ask God to lead. Pray with your eyes open so that you can watch what's happening with that person. Speak in a normal voice.
Don't put on a prayer voice.
Remember, we don't want to be weird. You're not being judged on your performance. This is not about you. This is about God. No pressure. Just be yourself. God uses ordinary people. Take your time. Wait on God. Bless whatever you see God doing and continue to pray in the Spirit. There is nothing magical about our tone of voice or about how we hold our hand. This is about God, not us. We need to do everything in our power to make the person we are praying for feel comfortable and loved. We need to not be weird about this, especially when we're praying for the unchurched, especially when we're praying for somebody out in public, which I hope we are doing all the time. We can simply be naturally supernatural. Okay, last two steps. So the interview, the diagnosis, prayer selection. Step number four is prayer engagement. Start praying for them. Just pray. I almost always start with, Father, I thank you for this person, and I say their name. You know, if we're praying for healing, Father, I thank you for your healing power. Remember, there's no magic words. I just find these to be really simple, useful ways to help me get started. As you pray, ask them how they're doing. Keep praying in the Spirit. Keep interviewing as you go. How are you feeling? How is your pain? Is anything changing? Remember to keep your eyes open and watch for the effects of the Spirit. They may move, they may sway, their eyelids may flutter. Notice the effects of the Spirit, but don't focus on them. Seeing something physically is not the goal. Ministering in the love of God is the goal. Physical manifestations are not a requirement for the Holy Spirit to work. The Holy Spirit works internally and on the whole person, and sometimes that shows up on the outside, but not always. Sometimes they will feel something, but not always. We should not expect manifestations, but we also shouldn't be surprised when they occur. Okay, the next part here is really important. Know when it's time to stop. It is time to stop. When the person you're praying for indicates that it is. They may do this with their words. They may do this with their body language. You'll know. It's time to stop when you feel God impress on you that it's time to stop. It's time to stop when you can't think of anything else to pray. Just stop. Don't repeat yourself. Just stop. It's time to stop when nothing's happening. Remove your hands. Talk to them. Let them know that you're stopping. Okay, last step. The interview, the diagnosis, prayer selection, prayer engagement. Step number five, post-prayer direction. What should they do next? Ask God for wisdom. Encourage them to continue to seek prayer and to continue to pray for themselves. Remind them that God loves them. You know, there may be an important instruction like Jesus in John 5:14, stop sinning. They may need to make peace with somebody that they've wronged. They may need to see a doctor. Encourage them to read their Bibles. Encourage them to spend time with God. Encourage them to get involved or to stay involved with a local church. If they come to the Vineyard, encourage them to get into a small group. Maybe encourage them to seek Christian counseling. Well, and then what if they're not healed? God still loves them. Remind them that God still loves them. Encourage them to seek more prayer, to seek more healing. Encourage them to seek long-term prayer. The number one goal of all prayer is to make people feel loved by God. Here's the bottom line. Jesus came not only to bring the kingdom of God, to save and to heal people, but also to impart to others this healing ministry that we might share in bringing other people under the rule of God. We as the church were commissioned by Jesus 2,000 years ago to announce the good news to all creation and to authenticate it with healing signs wherever and whenever the message is preached. Today, we have an incredible opportunity to participate with Jesus in reclaiming and restoring all things to God the Father. So let me ask you, are you willing to take a small risk? Are you willing to partner with God and to do the things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus asks us to do? Real short story about risk-taking. In a small group years ago, I found myself with a real heavy impression that somebody in the group was struggling with infertility. That's a scary thing to mention out loud, especially as a guy. But I mentioned it out loud. I brought it up to the group. And after a little bit of time, sure enough, somebody did say, I think that's for me. And so my wife and I, Allison and I, were able to come around this couple and to pray for them, to take that small risk that God would bless them with conception, with a child. And we were even able to pray boldly enough to say, God, we pray that even in 1 year's time, we would have with us a healthy baby. And we were able to pray that bold prayer because somebody had prayed that exact same prayer for us. Small risk. You never know what God is going to do. So here's what we're going to do together today. Many of you here in the room, many of you online, you want to receive some kind of prayer for healing. If that's you, if you're in the room online, hang on. I'm going to have some specific instructions for you. If you are in the room and you want to receive prayer for healing, I want you to be a little brave. I want you to stand up right where you're at if you're able to. If you're unable to stand, just put your hand up so we can see you. Come on. I know you want to do it, and I know you're scared. It's okay. This is a safe place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Great. Okay. Thank you. If you haven't stood up yet, go ahead and do it. Let those nerves get built up. Holy Spirit, give them the strength to overcome their fear and stand up to receive prayer. Awesome. Okay. Everyone else, hang on. They're brave. You're going to be braver. Everybody else, you're a follower of Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Go pray for them. Okay? What? No, I don't. Yes. Now is your time. You're going to go pray for them. Look around the room. Go to somebody. It's okay if several people go to someone to pray for them. Remember, we can pray in twos and threes. That's a good thing. Go ahead right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Go get them, okay? Go get them. Go pray for them. Start interviewing them. Ask them, how can I pray for you? Tell them your name. Find out their name, okay? Online, if you want to receive prayer for healing, I want you to click that prayer button so that a member of our host team can connect with you and pray with you. If you want to pray for somebody for healing, here's what you do. Get out your phone device, call somebody. They don't need to know, they don't need to come to the Vineyard, just explain to them, we've been talking about God healing people through prayer. How can I pray for you, okay? Do that right now, go get them. All right, how's the interviewing going? We finding out what's going on? Remember, just keep it short so we can get right to the root cause so we know what to pray for. And then when you're ready, begin to pray for them, okay? Begin to pray for them. Remember to keep your eyes open. Everyone else, look around. Watch the people who are being prayed for. Watch the people who are praying for them. You may see the Holy Spirit move. This might help you get a little bit more courage for the next time when it's your turn to take a risk, okay? So just look around and see what's happening. Now, while you are praying, listen, if anybody experiences anything, if anything starts happening, and it's okay if it doesn't, but if it does, we want to know. So do us a favor, just start clapping right where you're at so we can hear and know that God's up to something and we can celebrate with you, okay? You know, if they're experiencing pain, you might ask them, if your pain on the scale of 1 to 10, rate it before, and how does it feel now? And if it's gone down a little bit, well then pray some more and see if you can get it to go down a little bit more, okay? Ministry team, those of you who are not engaged, can you do me a favor and go ahead and come up to the front so we can be ready to pray for everybody else? We still have a few minutes. We still got time. I'm watching the clock, don't worry. How's it going? How's your prayer going? Remember, if you experience any change, if you think you're getting any healing, or maybe you receive something from the Lord, clap, thank you, so we can know. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Because we want to celebrate with you. When we pray for healing, healing could happen all right now. Healing could happen not at all. And everything in between, okay? Sometimes something begins to happen. Sometimes healing comes later. We want to know your stories. Do us a favor. Send us an email. Reach out to us on social media if something happens as a result of receiving healing prayer today. Okay. Go ahead and continue to pray. Continue to minister as God is leading. We're getting close to our dismissal time. So if everybody else could please stand. I want to pray a blessing over us. If you want to receive prayer for anything at all, for healing or anything else, please come and talk to one of our ministry team members down here. They would absolutely love, they would be honored to pray for you today. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your healing power. I thank you for the things that you are up to. I thank you for the things that we don't even know about yet, the things that you have planned for this week. I pray that you would go with us. Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and speak to us. And I pray that you would prompt each of us to reach out, to take a risk, to pray for someone this week. I pray your blessings over everyone gathered here today, in person and online. God, we love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks for being here today. Thank you for joining us online. We'll see you next week.